everyone likes to think that they're the fastest, you know. So, you know, I would, if anybody asked me if I could beat Kyle Harris, you know what I would tell you? Hell yeah, I'd smoke his ass.
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to Packer Transplants Live, brought to you by Cheesehead Nation. I'm Aaron Nagler, and of course, I'm here with the brains of our operations here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. And joining us behind the scenes, as always, are Alex Talish of Packers Lounge and Brian Caravu at Railbird Central, along with an assorted army of regulars on the live blog, which tonight is supposed to include Boris from Times 4 Forum. I see that Donald's designated driver is in the house. Good evening.
Tonight, we'll be talking to Matt Bowen, former Packers safety and current contributor at the National Football Post. And we'll be speaking live, I can't speak right now, to Dane Randolph.
That's
tackle,
right.
Tackle, the undrafted free agent who was featured in a Washington Post series before and after the NFL draft.
And he was the author of a blog with another undrafted rookie. Called The Long Shots. It's great reading. I literally just discovered it this week once I found that Dane was coming on. It's incredible. It's a really great look at the life of an undrafted player, what he goes through, the buildup. It's interesting, too, because of the guys on the blog, one guy got picked up by a team and one guy didn't. It's riveting reading, and I highly recommend it. We'll throw up the link later. But here we are. It's been a while. You know, I think it was 12 days ago since our last foray into the live broadcasting world, and a lot's happened.
A lot has happened,
and obviously I think the obvious number one situation in Packerland is the B.J. Raji holdout.
B.J. Raji? Who's that?
I don't know.
He left.
I hear we drafted him.
He left. I heard he went away.
He's out of town.
He took a plane.
He's back out here. He's back out east. So that's disconcerting, to say the least. I know Brian's been putting it up every day on Railbird, and I'm sure he'll put up the post right here on the live blog tonight if he hasn't already. But Raji's words, own words, coming back to haunt him with the agents, you know, aren't the ones in charge. I'm the one in charge. There won't be any problems with me as far as holding out.
Yeah, right.
BJ, I'd like you to meet me at my camera over here.
Oh, here, let me get that to you.
Your word is your bond, my son. And Packer fans are a little different, all right? Then I know you were like, you know, a big cheese there in college football. This ain't college anymore, son.
No,
it's the
not.
Pros. And I understand he's got to get what he can get. They want to get market value, which is the most ridiculous phrase in the face of the planet when you're talking about a rookie and draft negotiations. As I think Iron Man pointed out in the practice blog yesterday, how market value? How is there a market when you have one team you can negotiate with? I mean, you can do what you want to do. You can go back out east, whatever.
There's a market out there.
There is a market.
And
if
there's
he
a guy,
wants to sit it out this year.
There's a guy before and there's a guy after.
Now, and that's
the market.
That's obviously a big problem. You have, you know, Monroe in Jacksonville, whose agent is in a death stare with the Jaguars, and that's not going to end anytime soon. And you've got Crabtree right behind him.
Yeah.
Who's threatening to sit out the whole year.
You know what the funniest thing is on the live blogs during training camp, some people blame Crabtree and his agent, and
right.
Some people blame Monroe and his agent.
Right.
It's just funny.
It's a combination of everything. It's just obviously... You get so excited when they draft a guy back in April, and, mm-hmm. and you really, you know, you cross your fingers and you think, oh, yeah, he's going to get in. He's going to get in. We haven't had a major holdout the entire time Townsend's been here as far as a first rounder goes.
It's true.
And now, 12 days in, no first round pick in camp. It's disconcerting, to say the least. So there's B.J. Raji, and there's some other stuff around B.J. Raji that I think I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up.
Yeah.
There was, of course... Twittergate with Jeff Blum, the head of PR for the Packers.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, actually sends you a response for the first time ever.
And here's the thing. All right, I follow Jeff Blum on Twitter because he's the head of PR for the Packers. So it makes sense that I, as a Green Bay Packer blogger, would follow him.
And most of the people who follow him are guys who write for the
the Packers, or who support the Packers in some way, or the National Football League, yada, yada, yada. So I've sent him many, many responses to things he's Twittered about before, you know, about family vacations, about an assortment of things. And I've never gotten a response, and I you know, hold that against him. I'm not surprised. He's a busy guy. But the one time I asked him, who could you possibly mean about this very cryptic tweet? He responds, your buddy.
Your buddy.
Well, I guess since Bedard did save our ass last show, he is kind of our buddy. He's a buddy of the show.
Hey, we could do worse with worse buddies.
Yeah, absolutely we could. if you haven't, I'm sure you have, but if you haven't, check out the post on the site. It's interesting. It's interesting to say the least. And I have to say, I've gotten very good feedback on that post.
That's good.
Very good feedback from a lot of people.
You know something I just noticed that we need to rectify right now?
What's that?
Okay, look at your beer.
I'm sorry.
Okay. You need to fix that.
Yeah, we do. This ad space could be yours, ladies and gentlemen.
That was not staged.
Fee.
That was not staged.
At all. This is a Cheesehead TV mug.
A Cheesehead TV mug
highly
that you
recommend.
You actually can't buy it right now because the store
the
broke.
The store's broken.
But you know what? You can think about buying it, and if you want it, you can email me. You can
just email
me.
Cheesehead TV. We'll hook you up with a mug.
You gotta buy it, but
well, yeah. hooking up is like
email me, and I will send you a free mug.
No, don't worry that way.
That won't happen.
Moving on. Obviously, BJ Raji, blah, 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 blah. But
looking
on the good side of things, we got ourselves some hitting going on at this
camp. Yeah, we got some fighting happening.
We got some fights. We got physicality.
I was really hoping that the fights would happen again last night, but no luck.
Well, it sounds like they've taken it down a notch, at least until the next preseason game.
Maybe it's just all for show. Maybe McCarthy's sick of people saying that he has wussy practices.
And he has a finesse team. As I wrote yesterday, I think the team is making a concerted effort a year too late to get a little tougher. I think they saw last year especially, short yardage was just abysmal. They didn't have the push up front. They got pushed back at the point of attack on both sides of the ball. And I think that's why you see guys like BJ Raji, Quinn Johnson, TJ Lang getting drafted, because they got some muscle and some heft.
Well,
and some
I think you see BJ Raji getting drafted because, there's nobody to... that can actually do that job.
well, Ryan Pickett can do that job.
Slow down.
We'll see.
Slow down.
We'll see. We'll start seeing Saturday night. And speaking of Saturday night and
physicality,
we got a lot of guys out with injuries, obviously, like you do at this time of year. And I think I've caught wind. A lot of people are nervous, upset, slash, whatever, about so many guys being out on the defensive line. I can't remember who. I think... it might have been over at Tundravision. I think CD had a post up about the defensive line today. And I got to say, it's way too early to be worried about position groups and injuries. It's way early in camp. Injuries are expected. Better to have them now than the week before the regular season.
True.
And another thing this does, especially for the defensive line, which was one of the weaker parts of the team last year, we get to see some guys step up, hopefully. I mean, or not. But we get to see it, you know? We get Michael Montgomery as the starting left end.
What is the world coming to?
I don't know.
What's happening?
But behind him, we've got backup guys that are going to get a chance to play a whole heck of a lot more and against a lot better competition than they would have if guys like Harrell and Jolly were going. So, it may be a massacre, but it's the first preseason game, so I'm fine with that.
Well, and it is the Cleveland Browns.
It is the Cleveland Browns.
Let's not forget.
Coming to town. Eric Mangini.
Man genius.
Man non genius.
This is a PG show, so I'm not going to say what
You're
I wanted
gonna
to say.
You're not going to say what you want to say. But speaking of injuries and the defensive line, I don't think you can put those two phrases together and not mention Justin Harrell.
Oh.
Which, of course, I just did. But to bring him up as a topic.
Why you got to do that?
Because Justin Harrell, wasn't he busting loose this year? Wasn't this the year that Justin was going to take the next step?
I thought he was busting Justin.
He was indeed. Oh, no.
What do they think on the live blog about Justin Harrell?
I'm about to look.
All you have to do is put the letters J-U-S in a Packer forum, and it's over.
Yeah.
It's like dropping a stink bomb.
Oh, hey, someone mentioned Big Sexy. I like that. Colin Jenkins is Big Sexy.
Yes, he is.
I'm looking forward to some Big Sexy this year.
So what do you think the biggest surprise is right now?
How poorly it reads. Now, we haven't seen it a lick. I'm not at practice. But from all reports, from both the Twitter feeds and the practice reports, it reads like Quinn Johnson doesn't know what the heck is going on.
Ouch.
And as anybody who reads the blog knows, he was the one guy I was most excited to see.
So wait, is he a biggest disappointment or a biggest surprise?
I think it's both. I don't know. No one's really, I guess, a disappointment to this point because we haven't seen him live and we haven't seen what they can do. But you gotta think. I mean, although he did have one big pancock? Pancake block.
That was a Freudian slip. If
exactly.
Ever was one.
last night or the night before, you know, one big block out of, 8-9 practices. You'd like to see a little more. He's having an awful lot of assignment errors, like stepping the wrong way. I think he ran into Matt Flynn face to face the other day on a handoff. That's not good.
You know what I get most excited about when I see Twitters from Bedard or Pelissero, and they say that Tremont Williams was on Greg Jennings, and no matter what happens, you know it was good.
You know it's happy time. Because if Jennings caught it, he's just beating a really good corner. And if Williams takes it away or bats it down, it's just great coverage by a great DB. That's all you got
to
think.
I just wish they would just run. That would be my favorite part to watch if I was at training camp. So I hope Brian Alex get to experience that.
Well, here's a question. Brian just put up a poll. I think this is interesting and a bit premature, but hey.
Oh, there's been some great polls. Okay, we're on our ninth live blog, and that's the best part of it, is polls.
Well, because you get to see what people think.
Yeah.
And his question tonight is, are you disappointed in the Packers so far? Corey, I put it to you.
I'm not.
No.
It's too early to be disappointed.
I know. Let's be happy, people.
I'm excited. It's the beginning of the season. You don't know anything.
And overwhelmingly, people agree with you, so that's a good thing.
That normally happens, by the way.
What's that?
I know you don't believe that.
What, that people normally agree with you?
Yeah.
I think people really normally agree with you when you tell me I'm full of it. Yeah, I think that's when people really rally behind
you. That's really
you.
Not my favorite thing to do.
No, but...
But it's up there.
Usually you're right. But no, disappointments and surprises. I gotta say, for me, the biggest surprise, I guess surprise was Quinn Johnson not showing all that so far. I guess the biggest disappointment, you know, is obviously BJ Raji, but if you put that aside, I'm going to say that other than the one big skirmish night, the one big fight night, you know, they've been talking a lot about how physical it's been, but it seems they had that one big physical night, they had the one big fight night, they really were hitting and getting after it and la, 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 la. Mm-hmm. And ever since that night, yeah, there were, a couple of injuries, and I understand you got to be smart with guys, but ever since that night, you know, they've had two practices that were supposedly supposed to be in pads taken away. They put them in shells, and they just kind of did a basic install, you know?
Well, maybe they're doing so good.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. What am I worried about? Well, it goes back to one of my biggest worries about the defense from last year, 2 years ago, and a lot of those guys are still on the squad. They're very athletic. They're not very good tacklers. We have a whole lot of not very good tackling guys on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, especially in the front seven.
Yeah. It's
because you can't expect a cornerback
to be a great tackler.
Okay, here's the thing.
It's a bonus.
It is a bonus. You can expect a safety to be a great tackler.
Yes.
But you cannot expect a defensive back to be a great tackler. You are kidding yourself.
Well, you can if he sucks at coverage. You know? Give us one area
of
strength.
Be good at something,
that's
dude.
All we ask. But no,
like,
you're right.
Al Harris, I think, is a good tackler. Now, have I seen him make tackles that were like, whoa? Yeah. But you know what? The running back had 15 yards and was able to like just bowl. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I don't care how big you are.
Al Harris taking down anybody 15 yards downfield is not what you're looking for.
No. Although, one time when he did it, he took Adrian Peterson out of the game.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Hey, let's all remember that, shall we?
Before people, I know people on the live blog are knocking Al Harris right now.
I'm not.
I don't want to read.
Al.
That's all I hate. That's all I hear.
No.
Everybody thinks Al Harris is over the hill.
No.
Yes. They all think he's going to go.
Where do you read this tomfoolery?
They all think that Al Harris is going to just go to the, he's going to be resigned to the nickel. And I'll tell you what, having Al Harris as a nickel is a godsend.
It is. It's true. Although I don't think there's any way in God's Green Earth, they play him in the slot or the nickelback. But Al Harris is so far away from being done. The guy's a workout warrior. The guy came back from a broken spleen, ladies and gentlemen. You know, if that doesn't tell you what a warrior this guy is, and played well. He didn't just come back from his spleen and just kind of run around. He, like, dominated. We went out there with, like, half a spleen and dominated guys. So, now, Al Harris, you're fine in my
now, book. When it's Plaxico or anybody who's taller than Al Harris.
Yeah, the tall, physical wide receiver.
That's another story.
But that's why you have...
That's his weakness.
That's why you have Mr. Charles Woodson.
Speaking of, here's a good poll.
Yeah.
How long do you think Charles Woodson will be in the NFL from today?
Ooh. What, do you have some inside info on this?
No, I do not. I'm wondering what people think.
How much longer do you think he's going to play?
What has he got in him?
What made you
What's
think
in the tank?
What made you think of that?
Well, I thought about it for Al Harris, how people were saying that about Al Harris.
Right. How long before the inevitable, like, oh, this could be Woodson's last year's
story. Yeah, will he make the end of his contract?
Well, I think he does.
Yeah, I think he makes the end of his contract.
Like 3 or 4 years left.
3 or 4?
No, probably not, actually, now that I think about it. Getting ready to be a free agent, actually.
I was going to say 2 or 3.
Yeah, you're probably right. Someone look it up. Get to work on the live blog out there. You guys,
knows it off the
you
top of
You with
their
all
head.
Your Google, go get it. I could see that. I think he definitely plays out his contract, and I think they re-sign him to one more. I mean, as long as his level of play is there, I don't see why not.
It's true.
So I don't know. We'll see. The injuries, they're disconcerting. It has to be said.
We should do this poll before we do this.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So how many people think that Dane Randolph will call us?
Hey, there we go. Or more to the point, we'll pick up the phone
we'll actually,
when we call.
Yeah, we'll actually make the Packer connection.
But we're not
going to
do it live this week, ladies and gentlemen.
This is our third Packer.
Yes, it is.
Dude.
And if he's smart, he'll pick up, because as we all know, he will receive the Cheesehead Nation bump.
Wait, I think we should call Larry McCarron right now.
No. Wayne Larrivee.
Oh, that's right. Well, let's call
one
Larry
of the radio
McCarron.
Guys.
No, let's call Larry McCarron and ask him why Wayne Larrivee didn't pick up the phone.
Oh, and we should say, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who saw the ridiculousness that was our last show, Wayne Larrivee did send us an email.
He did?
Yes.
I never saw it.
No, I didn't either. He sent it to Brian.
He sent me an email, guys.
Oh, come on. Well, you say you don't believe Brian?
Brian's on vacation, so I cannot believe him right now because he can't say anything about it.
Well, Brian, you heard him. Will Dane Randolph pick up his phone? Yes. I have faith.
Remember the whole post
I put up about having to be positive? I'm thinking positive.
I'm positive.
One more guy ditches us, though, and I'm giving up.
You know what I'm positive about? I'm positive my aunt Gert.
Aunt Gert!
Is watching in Brilliant, Wisconsin right now, okay? She hasn't missed an episode since we started.
Aunt Gert, we love you. We love you.
Seriously.
You're the best.
Seriously. And you know what? You know what else is the best? See these? These right here? Here, let's see if we can...
Check them out.
See, look, they're...
Check
okay.
them out.
Those were made for a church charity. They're macrame. Those are Aunt Gert specials.
Check that out.
You can't buy that. That's... If I could be like the slap chop guy, I could probably sell these.
Oh gosh, that's great. Oh, Donald's didn't. Oh, well, Brian answered him. The email apparently said sorry.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think we should call him.
I think we still have his number. Still loaded up.
And what if his like wife answered and we're like, "You're live. You won $1 million."
No.
No.
We're working on getting Larry V on again. Oh boy.
Oh, sure you are.
Did he grovel? Triple D, are you crazy? He could have cared less. The man speaks to literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people every week on air.
Yeah.
Somehow I don't think he was upset about missing our show.
No. One day he will be, though.
One day.
One day.
One day, Larrivee. Larrivee! Oh, my goodness. I should have really owned that, but I didn't.
No, you didn't.
No.
Well, I didn't go to your camera fast enough either.
It's okay. It's all right. That's great.
I
love this.
I'm telling you, Wayne Larrivee, it's karma, man. Karma's real, okay?
We'll find out. He'll blow out a vocal cord during a game this year.
He'll get the Cheesehead Nation curse.
That's
There's a
right.
Cheesehead Nation
the bump
in
the curse.
In the curse.
He's going to get the curse. It's going to be great. What else is going on in camp? You know? It's just like it's
There's
been
lots of stuff.
And it's been stuff. And
we
Matt
don't know
Flynn
who
and Brian Brohm. And we haven't even touched on Michael Vick yet.
This is such
He
a,
was in Chicago last night.
Okay, this is such a non-story. And you know whose fault it ill is?
What?
It's all Alex Talish's fault.
What, the Michael Vick story?
The entire Michael Vick Packer rumor.
Alex, he has a point
is
here.
Is because of Alex Talish of Packer's Lounge.
He does have a point here, Alex. You did, like, ridiculously retweet
it was
that
last
one
Tuesday.
Blog story.
If you look at our live blog, I think it's last Tuesday. It might even be Monday. And you look, and there's like 100 tweets retweeting Packer's Lounge saying Michael Vick is going to be a Packer.
I know. Like, people... Like, because Alex Packer's Lounge has like 2,000 some followers, almost 3,000 followers
on
Twitter.
No, it's like 4,000, dude.
Something like that.
It's a ridiculous.
So then he retweets it like a million times. So then all the people who read him retweet it, and then the people who read them retweet it. It was just insanity.
And then the Peter Kings of the world have their assistants who have TweetDeck, and then all of a sudden they're writing stories about it. That's how it all works. It's crazy. It's like we
Alex, I'm sorry, but that is not BS. That is the truth.
It's not BS.
We have the proof.
I have the proof. I have the live blog to show you.
You know what? You're going to need like a Russian-Georgian attack on Twitter to take away the proof, my friend.
What's funny?
It's all there.
What's funny is that not only is there proof, but... It's ironic that he is the person who spread that rumor.
Because he's the one who, in the like the quintessential part of his being, doesn't want Vic on the pack.
Nobody wants Vic on the pack.
I don't want Vic on the pack.
Anybody who says they want Vic on the pack is just a contrarian like me.
Well, you said, and I quote, that you will stop supporting the pack if they sign Vic.
Well,
you
I
still
lied.
Stand behind that?
No, I lied.
Oh, I see.
Okay, there's like... See this right here?
Yeah, I see
again,
it.
You can't see it on the thing, but it says, your God, your family, and the Green Bay Packers.
That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
That's all I need to say about that.
I will only say this.
I'll lie for the Green Bay Packers.
I'll only say
they
this.
They should hire me because I'll lie for them. I would be the greatest
I'm
press
not touching
spokesman.
That
I'd be like, Mike,
pole.
This is how I would be to Bob McGinn if I was the press spokesman for the Green Bay Packers. I'd be like, Bob, you're banned.
That would go over real
That'd be
well.
Awesome. No, I wouldn't ban Bob McGinn. Are you crazy?
Wait, I want to go back
I
to the
Bob
God
McGinn.
Family and the Green Bay Packers, because this is very important to me. But I'm never going to say exactly what it is, but I do need to tell you everybody that Lombardi got that wrong, and it's in the wrong order, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay, whatever.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, I think it's in the wrong order, too.
I do, too. But that's it.
But
that's
you it. And I differ on what the order
what
should
the order
be.
Should be. Exactly. So, training camp's going on. Michael Vick might be coming. It's craziness. Absolute craziness.
Michael Vick is not coming.
I ain't following. The rumors persist. Tony Dungy was on television Sunday night saying that he's going to sign this week.
Yeah, he's got like four teams he's going to sign with.
Five, apparently. There's a list of five. No
we'll
one knows
see.
The list. And the only team
okay.
that has been...
Name
like,
five
even
teams
to...
you think that would pick him up besides the Raiders. Go. 30
well, the Raiders
seconds.
Never would because Amy Trask, the head of their PR or whatever,
okay.
is a huge animal
30
lover.
Seconds.
The Pats. The Packers. The Redskins won't, but I could see Snyder doing it. Maybe the Dolphins. I don't know. How's that?
That's four.
I don't know. You just threw me on the spot.
What do you know?
I think the Patriots and the Packers are the two
the
biggest
Patriots.
Possibilities. I do. I do. I think...
Why? Because Bill Belichick wants to prove he can do anything in the world?
Not that he can do anything in the world, but the guy has a history of taking, you know, players... who have problems, perceived or real, and bringing them in for cheap. If he can figure out a way to win with him, he'll do it.
It's true.
I mean, it's just a question of... And I think Thompson has that same trait. He just never pulls the trigger. You know what I mean? He will look at it. He will do his due diligence. He just won't pull the trigger. It's like I wrote on the blog. The king of almost getting guys is not going to pull the trigger on Michael Vick until someone else has already taken Vick.
No. You know what Ted Thompson's name should be?
Oh, no.
Senor Cheapo.
I don't even have I don't even have a response to that.
Although,
the rumblings, I will say the rumblings are that they are lowballing Raji. So
that was my Senor Cheapo song.
That's good.
Senor Cheapo.
I will I'll get to work on that.
That's okay. You know what? You know what I'm... You know, back to the Jeff Bloom thing.
Yeah.
I think Jeff Bloom hates us now, by the way.
I don't think he hates us.
I'm so glad that I have to associate with someone who made the director of public relations, the Packers, hate us.
He doesn't hate
us. Thank you.
Jeff sent me a very nice email. A very nice email in response where he basically... Let me read it to you. I'm going to read you the email.
Oh, wow.
Now he's
really going to hate us.
No, he sent it. He sent it on the record. I just haven't done my follow-up post about it yet.
On the record?
I asked
wait,
him...
Fans are going to get some news right here.
Some news. It's news.
Breaking Cheesehead TV news.
Yeah. perhaps not. But,
dude,
you know,
the public relations director of the Packers just talking to us is news, I think.
I'm a nerd, though, so I think
things like that.
All right. All right. Let me read you what he said.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
He said, Aaron, thanks for your email. I don't agree with your theories, statements, and overall dramatization in this instance.
Dramatization.
But you certainly are entitled to your opinion.
Mm.
Fans care about the players and coaches. Anyone else who thinks it is about them, you, I, Greg Bedard, Pete Doherty, etc., is kidding themselves. Hope you're well, Jeff.
Wow.
That was his response.
I don't agree with him.
which part?
I don't agree. It's a story about a story about a story, and well, everybody's important in the world. It's
well,
like a world.
Okay.
It's like World of Warcraft, except for...
Oh,
and I've never played World of Warcraft, but I'm telling you, the Green Bay Packers are like a big world story, right?
Right.
And we're all players, okay? And we're not...
Right.
We're not all important, but we all play in the game, and Jeff Bloom plays in that game. He plays in the pool. You pee in the pool? Hey.
Okay, I will...
Oopsie.
I'll go...
If he didn't hate us before, he definitely hates us now.
I'll try and distill that, because I agree with what you're saying, in essence.
No, I hear you. I just blathered on.
No, I
blathered.
Hear you. No. I agree with what you're saying, in the sense that I think it is important, because he is the head of public relations for a billion-dollar company, you know?
Yep.
And A, he chose to do the thing I accuse him of, whether it's perceived or real, that's, I guess, for you, the reader, to decide. But he can't deny the fact that what is out there, you know, and dismiss it away.
Well, what he says, it's just like if Robert Gibbs, okay, mm-hmm. he is the Robert Gibbs of the Packers.
He is indeed.
Okay, so if Robert Gibbs comes out on the podium, what he says is what Barack Obama says. I mean, that's
exactly. He's his mouthpiece.
He is the mouthpiece. So Jeff Bloom is the mouthpiece for the Packers. So when he Twitters or whatever the heck he does,
right.
That's public. That's news.
That's
he can make news, so he's wrong.
You got that, ladies and gentlemen? He's wrong.
But I do love you. Please get me some Packer tickets.
Oh. That's classic. I got to say, that is truly classic.
Meanwhile.
I don't know. I think it's important. I think he needs to apologize to Bedard. But I'm going to write about it in my follow-up.
Well, I said to you on the phone, what's fascinating to me is and I know most Packer fans are like, why are you talking about this? But this is really important for this thing. In New York here, you have one big city and you have all these major media sources.
Right.
In Wisconsin, you have the biggest city and the biggest paper covering a team, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours away.
Right.
And a team that's in bed, literally, and was created by and for the Green Bay Press Gazette.
Exactly.
So you have this mouthpiece for the Packers, the real mouthpiece for the Packers, and I don't mean to knock Tom Pelissero or anybody at Green Bay Press Gazette, but since the Packers were started 90 years ago,
right.
The Green Bay Press Gazette has been their mouthpiece.
Absolutely.
And so they're going to get information.
They hired Lee Remmel straight from...
Exactly. So... It's fascinating and ironic that the JS Online, the guys with the bigger budget and the bigger resources, are the ones that are shut out.
Well, and it's like I wrote to Jeff. I didn't write it on the post, but it follows a pattern. Earlier, like in the month, he called out Bob McGinn in the same manner. He said, you know, I wish people would stop pining for 1988 the way it was in 1988 and realize how good they have it, you know? Obviously,
well,
he's talking
about
McGinn.
Can you imagine the Giants' mouthpiece, okay?
No.
Telling
everything you're about to say?
Telling
no.
the lead columnist for the New York Times
right.
saying that about him in a Twitter that's
no.
that obvious.
No.
It would never happen.
No, it's unprofessional.
And that's the same thing. It's the same thing.
I agree. I completely agree. It's unprofessional. It should never happen. Blum, you need to apologize. All right, we've been blathering on.
Woo!
It's time for a
it's
break.
It's getting kind of hot in here.
It's getting a little hot in here. When we get back... Cross your fingers. Matt Bowen will be on the phone. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in a little bit. All right, we're back. And on the phone with us is Matt Bowen of the National Football Post. Good evening, Matt. How are you?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Nice.
How are you? There you are. Good evening. Welcome to the show. Well, I guess we'll just dive right into it. Just wanted to ask you a few questions. You know, obviously it's a great honor to have any Packer on the show, X or no. Thanks a lot for being here tonight.
I'm glad you guys have me on.
How did you get involved with the National Football Post? Was this something you had heard about and you lobbied for, or did they approach you directly?
No, I'm one of the partners, I guess you could call one of the co-owners. We put this thing together, myself and Andrew Brandt, who you all know, and Michael Lombardi, Jack Bechter, and Joe Fortenbaugh. We wanted to create a forum that was, football 24/7 by football experts, guys that have been in the league. You know, I was a player, Jack's an agent. Obviously, Michael Lombardi was a front office guy, and Andrew was a cap specialist. So you put all that together, and what you have is guys who are on the inside telling the real story instead of secondhand news.
Right.
And guys that can get deeper, guys who have good sources, and people that can describe the game in a way that can't be described in your everyday media outlet.
Absolutely, and I gotta say, it's an absolute godsend for football junkies like us and our readers. You guys do great work, and we hope you keep it up. Definitely. I'm gonna start out totally out of left field here. What was it like playing for? What was it like playing for Mike Sherman? What kind of coach was he?
I like Coach Sherman a lot. I did. Coach Sherman and my college coach, Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, are good friends. Actually taught high school English together a long time ago. And they both have kind of that dry sense of humor. And I really thought that Coach Sherman was the type of guy that bought into the tradition of being a Packer, just like you would if you're playing for the Yankees or coaching for the Yankees.
Right.
I really thought he bought into it. I really thought he made the players buy into it. Not that you need it in Green Bay, but, he made it special. He made playing in Lambeau Field special, and I thought, the years over there, we had some very good football teams. Yeah, we didn't do as well in the postseason as we wanted to, but when we were in the postseason, we had a chance. Coach Sherman takes some of the blame, but Coach Sherman wasn't making mistakes in the field when, we lost to the Rams in 2001 and when we lost to
you're leading right
Michael
into my
Vick.
Next question, so that's great.
Michael Vick and the Falcons in 2002. So
right.
Everyone takes the blame for that. We didn't show up.
Right. Your time with the Packers, you were there for a few years, and you've written, especially in light of the drama last summer, about how when you were on the field or in the locker room with Brett Favre, how you were – you admitted you couldn't help it. You were a bit in awe, to be on the same team and in the same room with him. In light of everything that's happened now, has some of that faded for you? I mean, I don't know how you probably don't deal with him that much directly now, but, has some of that, after all the drama that's happened and everything, all the indecision and everything, or do you still just see one of the best players to ever play the game and you'll just never feel differently about it?
Yeah, I don't have any different opinion on Brett whatsoever. He was one of my sports heroes when I was in high school. I used to go watch him play when, my buddies and I would go down to Soldier Field. watch Brett come in and beat up the Bears. No, when I played for the Packers, I never sat in the sidelines when the offense was on the – sat on the bench when the offense was on the field. I wanted to watch him play. And you can look at it a couple ways, but, I still looked at it as, I'm not sure what the exact reason was why Brett and the Packers split, but, bottom line, the guy still wanted to play football, and, it took him a long time to make up his mind, but that doesn't mean it diminishes what he did in the past.
I mean, no,
he's a multiple-time MVP, brought a championship to that town, and he's one of the greatest football players, not just quarterbacks, one of the greatest football players, I've ever seen. So, it's my job now as an analyst to give my opinion and talk about the situation that happened this time with the Vikings. But, the bottom line, at the end of the day, when I put the pen down, I'm still a Brett Favre fan, and I still will be, and I'll still be someone I tell my kids about.
That's perfect to me. Absolutely. Last week on the site, you wrote about the possibility of Michael Vick joining the Packers. And you said, I think, what a lot of people are thinking and see as well, in the fact that it's really hard to envision where he fits on the team. I just can't see him as a quarterback. But how realistic do you think it is that he might join the Packers? And what are your thoughts on Vic back in the NFL in general?
I'm not buying that stuff. I'm going to Green Bay. I'll be honest. I always put myself in that position. Like, what would I do? What would I do if I was running that team? I don't say I'm not, but that's part of my job. And if I'm running that team, the last thing I want to do is bring in another quarterback when Aaron Rodgers is my starter, just like he was last year.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers, sure, he's got to get better. Last year was only year as a starter, and he'll be a lot better this year than he was last year. And he's pretty good last year. So, and plus he's young, plus he's got a new contract. The thing with Vic, you know, to get to your next question, is that, you know, I honestly believe that, you know, Vic and his agent, Joel Siegel, are looking to come back to play quarterback. You know, he's not looking to come back to, you know, play in the slot or play running back. He's looking to play quarterback. And I think that he has to go to a team, I wrote about it today, that needs a quarterback. Probably not this season because he's not in camp. Camps are almost over. I mean, once preseason games start, 2 days are gone, and you know, I start making cuts, and you know the roster you're going to have. And yeah, he could get signed by someone, and he probably will, but that doesn't mean he's going to play this year. Because if he's going to be a quarterback, he's going to have to sit. And I said, you know, you never count out. You know, I played 3 years for Dan Snyder in Washington. Never count Washington out, no matter what it is.
I just said that, so yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
No matter what, because let's be honest, Jason Campbell they tried to trade him a couple times this offseason. They don't want him.
This poor guy.
And I played with Jason. Jason throws a great football. He's very mature, and, you know, he's just behind the eight ball out there.
Absolutely.
You know, another team is the St. Louis Rams. You know, they're rebuilding their defensive football team now with Spags there from New York.
Right.
Mark Bulger's been hurt. They play indoors, and, you know, they need a spark. I mean, they're not filling the seats. This isn't the greatest show on turf anymore down there. It's going to be a defensive team.
Not.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is obvious. It's the Minnesota Vikings because, let's be honest, Tavares Jackson is had his chance last year, and we saw what he did, and he has trouble staying healthy. And, you know, I know Sage very well. I played against him when I was at Iowa. He was at Iowa State. But, you know, Sage is a backup quarterback who is being thrust into a starter's role. So, I mean, those are my three yeses right now, and they're probably being the three wrong guesses. But I mean, that's kind of the fun part of the job, you know, throw some names around and see what happens.
Yeah, it is.
Well, getting back to the current Packers team, you were pretty forceful in writing that you really thought that Nick Collins should get his butt to camp and stop whining about his contract and learn the defense. And you wrote that, you know, obviously before camp started, and he did show up. And by all accounts, is doing well. What's your, as a former safety, what's your assessment of Nick's play, and how do you think he'll fit into Capers' defense?
I think it's fine. You know, I wish I had his ball skills. I really do. And the guy's a ball hawk. I mean, everyone in that secondary is. I mean, Al Harris, Woodson, all those guys, they're ball hawks. And that's why they get so many picks, and that's why they can play man-to-man up there, is because they have man-to-man corners and safeties that can come down and play a third receiver. The luxury of a guy like Nick Collins is you don't have to bring in a sub package. You can bring him down and play a third on top of a third wide receiver. But, you know, everyone has faults in this game. You know, every safety in this league has become a better open field tackler. And I can say that about myself when I play. You know, with the tackling has kind of gone downhill in this league when it comes to the safety spot. But, you know, I'm glad he's in camp because, you know, I played you know, for a number of teams, and I played for a lot of defensive coordinators. And when I was in Washington, after Coach Spurrier left and Coach Gibbs came in, we brought in Greg Williams, who I have a ton of respect for.
Right.
And he needed to be there because it's different. It's different terminology. It's a different culture. You play defense better. That's why Coach Capers is there. He's not there to install a scheme. He's there to change the culture, the way they play, the way they hit, you know, the way they line up in the huddle. Everything, it starts over because last year wasn't good enough. That's the bottom line, or else he wouldn't have been hired.
You know, that's interesting. You talk about Greg Williams, and I guess from all accounts, that's what we're getting with Capers and the extra physical practices we're hearing about. In regards to Greg Williams, you know, it's been reported, and no one's ever denied it, that the Packers offer the defensive coordinator job to Williams. Do you think the Packers would have been better off running, sticking with a 4-3 scheme and bringing in Williams, or and do you think they have the personnel to make the 3-4 work?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I don't think you can go wrong with Coach Capers and Coach Williams. Yeah, it's a different front, but they're both some of the best coordinators there are in this league. You know, Greg is a big pressure guy, a huge pressure guy, a guy that demands accountability in every play and practice. I mean, you don't practice well on a Friday during the season, you might not play. And that's when you're in, just shorts and shoulder pads. I'm serious now. He demands it. And Coach Capers, I don't know him personally. From what I heard, he wants accountability too. Now, the 3-4, it's a little different. Your defensive ends are different. They're not 260 that can rush off the edge. They're big. I already heard that Justin Harrell's hurt again. That's a huge body. You need a guy like that. You need those guys that are tipping 300 pounds. And up front, I know B.J. Raj hasn't signed yet. That's the risk of any top 10 pick that happens. Sometimes it's almost like they're a redshirt freshman in college. The season's just a wash. Because even if he shows up now, he's not going to do anything in that first game. He's just not going to be in shape, and he's not going to know enough. He'll be in the rotation. That's one great thing about drafting the linemen, is they have a rotation. It's not like this Michael Crabtree stuff that's going out in San Francisco. That's a whole other ballgame. But, the 3-4, you need to push out of the nose. You need the nose to be dominant, to be able to take on double teams. And your linebackers have to be playmakers. Now Aaron Campman is one of my great friends. I went to college with Aaron, and he's helped me in more ways than one can imagine. He's just such an unbelievable guy, unbelievable family man, and an unbelievable football player. I think he's going to have a great year. I know there's people that say, well, he's got to stand up now, and drop in the coverage. Sure. But with coaching changes, that's what happens. You have to sometimes change the style of your play. You have to play different positions. It happened to me a lot. You're playing free one day, and the new coach comes in, you're playing strong, and you weigh 195 pounds. You're getting thrown all over the place. It's how it works. So, the great football players, guys like Campbell, they adjust. And, when third downs come around, and they bring the sub package out, there's going to be 40 linemen, and I guarantee Campbell's going to be playing DN, coming off the edge and making plays.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Well, Matt, I guess I got one more question for you, because you mentioned it in our email exchange. Are you drinking Leinenkugels tonight? Because if you are, I am so jealous.
Did he get cut off?
Oh, I think he got cut off.
No. Matt!
Well, Matt, you're the man.
Matt.
Hope you're drinking Leinenkugels wherever you are. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Matt Bowen, the National Football Post.
That was awesome.
Drop call.
I liked what he really
Curse
had to
you,
say.
AT&T.
I literally liked what he had to say about Aaron Campman. That was amazing.
It's true, and I gotta say, I totally agree.
Because that's okay. If Raji doesn't play, it almost puts more pressure. And Justin Harrell's injured.
Yeah.
Campman's pressure has got to be through the roof.
Yeah. Well, and we kind of knew that. It's like the whole thing this offseason, when they announced they were switching to the 3-4. It was about, where's the pressure going to come from other than Campman? And then people were saying, let's trade Campman. And I never understood that. And I know there are people who have very strong opinions about that who are here tonight on this blog. That never made sense to me, because you've got to get pressure on the quarterback. And until guys like Matthews and Thompson prove that they can do it in a game on a regular basis, you don't trade away the one guy you know can do it.
Yeah, he's the only... I don't know what you call him. Do you call him a defensive lineman or a linebacker?
He's a linebacker officially, but he'll play both.
He's definitely the only defensive end on our team who's proven, besides Colin Jenkins.
That's the truth.
Will you agree with that?
I would agree with that. You know what? I think Matt's calling us back.
All right. Let's get him on the phone. I want to say thanks. I mean, I really appreciate him coming on our show. And
Matt, is that you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
You
Matt.
Called us back.
Nice. Cut off.
Nice.
Well, let me say, you are a stand-up guy for calling back.
Thank you very much for calling us back.
Because some guys wouldn't.
Right.
Hey, are you drinking
I'm down here in Lake Geneva drinking beer out of cans.
Are you drinking Leinenkugels? Because I'm so jealous if you are.
No, I'm speaking of no genuine draft. Heavy.
Okay, right. Hey.
Little MGD.
It's good stuff. Oh, that's, yeah. Milwaukee, baby.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. My family and I come up here every summer. My wife and I are married up here in Lake Geneva, so we spend the summers up here.
Well, cool. That's fantastic. When you were at school in Iowa, what pro team were you rooting for?
I grew up a Bear fan, but when I was in college, forever. I mean, anyone really. I mean, I always been an NFC North guy, so.
There you go.
I mean, when you're in Iowa City, you either get the Bear, Packer, Viking game. That's
right.
So, I mean, when we were college kids, not only had DirecTV or anything.
No, that's true.
After the game, you drink beer, and then Sunday, you lay around and watch pro football. It was great.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
No.
Hey, we were talking before about the National Football Post, and, like we say, we read it religiously. How much response / feedback have you gotten from guys in the league that you either played with or you played for, coaches? Because, there's lots of stories about players who, after they're done playing, they go over to the media side of things and they get kind of a frosty reception. Have you found some of that, or have people been pretty, open with you?
I think people have been pretty open, but I tell it like it is, but I don't play favorites either.
Right.
And, I'm not in TV side, and I'm a writer, so...
Right.
It's a little different, I'm not on, a big network, reading off a teleprompter, or something like that.
Not yet, Matt.
Exactly. Not yet.
No, that's not going to be me, man. I've already told you, I'm drinking beer out of cans. I'm down on beer.
Yeah!
Suit on TV, so. I got a lot of friends in the league still, and they read my stuff, and I tell them, I got to do my job, you got to do yours. So, I call it like it is. I mean, I think I'm pretty fair. One thing, I wasn't, I wasn't this guy, making all the money in the league or anything. I had to earn my way. I wasn't a superstar, so it's a little different. I kind of give it from kind of a blue collar tone. So that's what I try to do.
Well, everyone appreciates it. I know everyone who reads the blog does. Real quick, what's your prediction? NFC North, and don't pander to us.
Give us your
honest opinion here. what are the standings of the NFC North at the end of the year?
Honestly, man, I can't pick a winner yet because I think it's going to be Bears-Packers in December. It's going to be who plays better the last 3 weeks of December. But I think it's going to be, the Bears and Packers on the same line right now than the Vikings and the Lions. I just think the Vikings have gone through too much. I just don't know if they have the quarterback play. Yes, Adrian Peterson is by far the top running back in the NFL, and their defense was sixth last year. They lost Sharper, which might not seem like a lot, but Sharper was a good veteran still.
He knows the game, definitely. Yeah.
And Green Bay and Chicago, I'll have to make that call after the preseason, see who plays healthy and see how Green Bay plays defense. And be honest, see how Chicago plays defense, because these teams I think will be talented in offense. Obviously, the Bears don't have the guys on the outside like Green Bay does. I think Hester will be better. I heard this Johnny Knox kid, the rookie they drafted, is looking pretty good.
Yeah, that's the word.
And I'll say Jake Cutler's a good quarterback. And I'll say Matt Forte is a good running back, and Greg Olsen's a good tight end. So I think both those teams have good offenses, and both those teams have defenses that can be great. We have to see how they do in the preseason, who stays healthy. Is their locker making plays? That's a big thing. Can the Bears rush the passer off the edge? They couldn't last year. And, is Tommy Harris healthy? Because he's not practicing right now.
I know. That really surprised me about the surgery that came out.
I know they drafted Jaron Gilbert, the kid from San Jose State, who a lot of people are high on. But, again, just like Raji, he's a rookie. You just don't know. Those guys should be great players 2-3 years from now. But that first year, it's just tough. It's a tough adjustment coming in this league. And playing with grown-ups instead of being the best player on the field like you were in college.
Absolutely.
First-round picks in college were better than everyone, you know?
Right.
I mean, this is how it is, you know? I just want to see Michael Crabtree get to camp and see some of those jams.
Have
from
the veterans
corner.
Take care of him, right? Yeah. Well, yeah, Matt, you've been more than fair with your time. Thank you so much for coming on, really, and thanks a million for calling back. That's great of you.
No problem. Hey, you guys keep pumping the post and check our fantasy, man. Our fantasy is top notch. I mean,
yeah,
it's written
it
by
good.
Myself and Michael Lombardi and Joe Fortenbaugh. That's top notch stuff now.
I gotta say, I picked up the draft guide and I completely agree.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So,
all right, thanks.
Anytime, you guys, shoot me an email, and if you're ever down in Lake Geneva this summer, we'll go get some lineys.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt. Have a great night. Thanks for joining
Matt.
Us. Ladies and gentlemen,
Matt Bowen
of the National Football Post. And a former Green Bay Packer.
Former Green Bay Packer safety.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dane Randolph on the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone with us, Packers tackle Dane Randolph. Dane, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so very much for being on the show with us tonight.
Yes, thank you, Dane.
No problem.
Here you are, Packers training camp. You're living the dream. I guess we'll start with your going from an undrafted player to the Packers. Roster for the most part so far. How did your family react when you found out you'd been offered a spot with the Packers?
My mom was very excited. She was, and I actually. Was reluctant to tell her right away because I wanted to see the reaction on her face. So I actually waited until I got back to Maryland and was talking to her, and I kind of slipped it in during the conversation, and her head kind of twitched, and she was like, "Say that again." And I explained it to her, and she was like, "Oh, that's amazing. That's great." And we had a glass of wine that night, and it was amazing. It was a really great experience. My mom loved it. She was mad I waited so long to tell her.
You waited, right?
on the way back, I was acting like, I don't know. No one's really gotten any calls yet. No one's been told anything. Meantime, I was spending about 2 hours signing the papers for the contract. So
you are a mean son, but that's
funny.
My
mom loved it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I read on the Washington Post did their piece on you. They followed you, really, all the way to Green Bay. When Reggie McKenzie, I guess it was, who met you and said he wanted to see you, how hard was your heart pounding? I mean, you got to think that's either getting cut or getting a contract. I mean, did you have any indication?
Man,
was he smiling when he said it? Did you have any idea?
You know what? I had the hugest grin on my face because the whole time I was just keeping myself from screaming and with just excitement and joy and everything the whole time. So, Literally, those 2 hours, I'm trying to keep myself as composed as I can, but I'm just smiling the whole time. And then once I get outside, me and my former teammate, Dean McCarty, we're both outside at the same time.
Right.
We just let one out once we got outside, and it's the best feeling. It really is.
It's just fantastic. Obviously, we'll be following every move because we're diehards here.
We hope you get the Cheesehead Nation bump.
Yeah, I don't
Dane.
Know if you're aware of this, Dane, but there is a thing called the Cheesehead Nation bump. Every Packer player who's come on this show has experienced good fortune on the field afterwards. So we hope
nice.
Keep up the tradition.
I love it.
Going back to when you were growing up, I know you're from Florida. Did you have a favorite pro team? Did you just follow a bunch? Or were you a fan of another sport? Or what were you into as a kid?
Mostly as a kid, I was a fan of basketball. And from my background, I lived most of my life probably in Florida just because I have most of my family there. But because my mom was in the military, in the Navy, I moved around a lot, so actually I didn't really know what football was until about 8 years old when we lived in West Virginia. So it really has grown on me a lot since then, and every year I get more and more into it. And I don't know if my mom likes it as much because she she was worried about me getting hurt and everything. That was always been her issue.
That's what moms do, playing. Right?
But she was like, why couldn't you just play basketball? Or stay with basketball. I was like, but football is the best thing in the world. It is great. And I really love those games. I really do.
Well, you know, reading about you on the Washington Post has just been a real treat. And your blog, I gotta say, has been fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And now that you've got a whole bunch of people's attention, you're gonna have to start updating that thing a little bit more.
There you go.
A little more regularly,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get involved with that?
Training camp days were kind of been.
Sorry. How did you get involved with the Post? Did they approach you? Did you have an agent that kind of lobbied for you? I mean, how did that happen?
The Post really started up for me. They approached me. The guy, Les Carpenter.
Right.
Really, it's really funny because it kind of was like no previous relationship or anything with the Post or anything. But they wanted to follow a few guys and just see what they didn't want to follow, like someone who's going to go first round or someone who just wasn't going to get picked up. They wanted to see what the process is, what we have to fight for and everything, and just how everything happens to be on the team.
Right.
So they don't want to see just the easy part. They don't want to see just the hard part. They want to see the in-between. So they selected me and everything. I was like, yeah, y'all can follow me. It's perfectly fine. I wasn't too worried about it. I was more of, I want to figure out how it is too. So y'all learn with me. It was really been a great experience. And they just approached me and asked me if I wanted to be followed, basically. I said, yeah.
It reads fantastic, and yeah. I gotta say, the jump, it's interesting, you go in a bit to the jump from, you know, college ball to the pros. You know, everyone said, obviously, it's a big adjustment. What's been the biggest adjustment? Is it the technique part of it? I mean, like, the footwork, the hand placement, or is it more, you know, learning the offense, trying to, like, you know, just take on the whole volume of the playbook? What's been the biggest adjustment?
I think the biggest adjustment is the mental state that you have to have, the mental preparedness you have to make for just a day in practice.
Right.
So it's a lot more involved mentally, I think, than it ever is in college or high school. When I'm at home, I usually teach a few younger kids. My head football coach from high school, he has a camp that he does every summer, and I tell them, I'm like, the same drills that you're doing today, you're going to keep doing in college, and the pros, I don't care where you are, it's the same drills, because you're working on the same things no matter where you go. But every level, it just gets harder mentally than the previous level. So I'm a playbook here. I'm studying every other night, trying to get everything straight, but it's a lot more involved mentally than it was before.
And where do they have you most of the time? Are you playing right tackle, left tackle? Are you doing both? I got to imagine that. Just one position's got to have your head swimming. How much do they have you moving around?
I've been playing both tackles. It's not too difficult. Just the learning one is hard enough anyways. But both left and right, mostly at right lately. So right tackle, pretty much.
And who's the toughest guy?
I had a few reps to guard when we had a little change mix up. We had about 12 offensive linemen out at the same time.
Wow.
But, few reps to guard, so been playing different positions.
And who's been the hardest guy to block, either in team or in one-on-ones?
Let's see. One-on-ones, I don't go against Aaron Kettman, but during team, I have, and he is pretty difficult to block.
Makes sense.
He has perfected his technique so much, and I've actually looked at it on film, figured out a way to better prepare myself to go against them, because I'm going to get them a lot. But definitely. Because once he gets his hands on you, you got to knock him off somehow. You got to get him off.
Right. You know, speaking of teams, team drills, do you feel extra pressure? I've always wondered this. I mean, because of the way practice is set up and the ones get three reps, the twos get two reps, and the threes get one rep, do you feel extra pressure during team drills to try and, quote, stand out, because you know you don't get as many reps and you don't get as many chances to prove yourself? I mean, I got to think that it's hard not to shut that down.
Yeah, I feel like it's more of a double-edged sword for us as rookies, because you have that one opportunity to do really good or do really bad. So you get to the point, and the fact that you're not in for 5 reps at a time or up to 9 reps or so, you get a little stiff. So have a stretch and everything. Get out there, do your best, but you really do work your hardest that one rep and really try to show what you got.
Doing the team drills and then the one-on-ones, you said the Packers have been – obviously the talk around Packerland has been how physical the practices have been. Has that surprised you, the ferociousness, if for lack of a better word, of the hitting? Or is it kind of just football and you don't really notice?
No, that's exactly what I expected coming here. So it's definitely what I expected, and I'm glad to see it. So the stuff that everyone has here is amazing. It's great. I wouldn't have any other way.
You know, I was reading over your entry in the Packer Media Guide today, and I couldn't help but notice that you list one of your other interests as playing video games. And I got to ask, what games and on what system?
Right now, I finally got the PS3 system about a few months ago and played a few games because for a while I wasn't playing games throughout probably my junior year and senior year of college.
Right.
But once I got the PS3, I was like, I got to get back into games. So I'm more into action games, I guess.
That's cool.
And not as much in the sports games as players are. Because I'm like, if I could play it, I could play it outside and just do it in real life, then right. Assimilation of it.
Well, you certainly are doing that, right?
Yes, definitely. Exactly. As long as I can, I am. But mostly action games. PlayStation has been one of them. That's one of the first games I got with the new system.
Nice.
Very good. Saints Row 2, the ridiculously funny game. It's hilarious. What else?
Do a lot of guys play at camp?
No. Well, I don't have a TV, so I'm not playing. And a lot of us don't have TVs, so we're in here basically just a bed, some clothes, and our playbook. So
there you go.
Some guys have TVs.
That's what we like to hear.
Wait. Who has TVs?
Oh, yeah.
Who has TVs?
Barnett's got a TV.
I don't know of anyone. Who do they have bringing the TV?
Barnett's got a TV. I know that. He showed it on his Twitter feed today.
Barnett? Barnett gets a feed?
How much have they... Now, the Packers traditionally do not haze their rookies. Is this true? Yeah. Have you been a victim of any rookie hazing?
Rookie hazing? No, not really. No, the only thing... the last thing in respect thing is we just prepare the water for the veterans as an offensive line. That's not even the whole... team thing. It's just an offensive line thing because we have to stay hydrated and usually the rookies. And this has been done every year. We've got to get the waters for the veterans.
All right.
That's not too bad.
That's nothing bad. That's not like shaving your head or anything like that.
Trust me, it's not bad at all.
Well, Dane, finally, before we let you go, first of all, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're a real trooper to be on. And we got to get you on Twitter, man. I see you've got your blog, and I see you got your site, but we gotta get you on Twitter. You know, talk to Ryan Grant.
I'm on Twitter.
Are on Twitter?
Yeah, wait.
And we got another Packer on Twitter.
I have a whole website. If you want me to let you know what the website is.
Yeah.
It's www.freewire.com.
/Dane_Randolph.
Well, we're there.
What is your Twitter? What's your Twitter username? We're going to find you now.
We'll find you. It's on now.
Well, and you know, that website is the only place you need to go because everything is kind of connected to that website. I had someone set that up for me, and they've done a really great job for us. Anything that comes out on newspapers or on the internet goes there the next day.
Excellent.
Within hours, really.
Cool.
So they really set this really good for me.
Well, we'll definitely link to it. We'll definitely send people your way. And like I said, keep the blogging up. You have a very riveted fan base that wants to read how you're doing.
All right.
Thanks so much for coming on, Dane. You know, keep fighting the good fight, and we hope to see you on the 53. And if not, you know, definitely on the practice squad.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm looking for that Chiefs head TV bump.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
Dane, thank you so much.
Dane Randall.
Have a great night.
You too.
Dane Randolph, ladies and gentlemen.
Dane Randolph joining us on the phone.
That was exciting.
Got to check out his site. We'll put up his link.
I didn't know he was on Twitter.
Well, who knew?
What?
What?
Alex is already following him
probably.
On Twitter.
Like, from three different accounts.
I want to go to that site because I got to figure out what it was because I think I talked over when he said what his Twitter feed was. So if somebody finds his Twitter, we got to find it.
We definitely got to find
it. So we will definitely follow
him. I
really
hope he gets the Cheesehead TV Cheesehead Nation bump.
He was fantastic. I liked him the best. So far of the three Packers we had on, I think he was
the most engaging. Most definitely.
He was. I liked his, I don't know the games he said on PS3. But I don't have a PS3. I have Xbox 360.
As do I. And we've played online maybe once.
No, we've played more than that.
Really?
The problem with playing Aaron on Xbox 360 Madden is that he can't scream because he has three daughters. So I'm talking all this crap, and he doesn't even put his headset in. I'm like, oh, I just owned you, dude. And then he's like,
Corey has never said that.
Be quiet, my daughters are sleeping.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of true. Thank you. Someone on the live vlog, I love you. Who are you? Mister. Everyone hates, but the shark is awesome. That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, the shark is not awesome.
The shark is so awesome.
Okay, the shark is gay.
I love the shark.
Let me just say that.
I love the shark.
Yay.
You need to stop right there, son. Just stop what you're doing.
Okay, as fans.
Oh, wait. I got one. Wait. Now we're in a total free-for-all because we've gone way off script. Here we go. I gotta play this. This
Wait,
is brilliant.
Script?
Okay, of you who follow Mr. Nick Barnett on Twitter may be familiar with the prank that he plays on occasion. He started with his trainer, and now he's moved on to fellow players, where he has this horn attached to his truck that is just like the loudest, most obnoxious thing you've
ever
heard.
It's like a boat horn.
It's like a boat horn, yeah, exactly. And it's so, and he waits for someone to get right up to the truck, and he films him while this is happening. He waits for them to get right there, and then he blows his horn, and they jump sky high, and blah, 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 blah. Well, he does it in the parking lot at Lambeau, and, speaking of the devil.
What?
This is Aaron.
What's going on, man? It's Nick Barnett.
Nick Barnett in the house.
Nick Barnett in the house on Cheesehead Nation. Are you kidding me?
Good evening, Mr. Barnett. How you doing?
No way.
I'm doing good, man. What's going on?
You know what's so funny is I was just talking about your horn. I was just going to point out to everyone, I don't know if you know this, Nick, but every afternoon press conference that McCarthy has held in training camp, you know they're outside, right?
Right.
And they're up on Packers.com. If you play any one of them, you can hear your horn at some point during his press conference.
You know what? That's not even my horn.
No!
Oh, I thought it was. What is that?
What is it?
It's the practice horn.
Why? How can they have a practice horn while McCarthy's talking? Oh, you wish. I was so excited. Hey, Nick, thanks so much for calling. That's really
a surprise.
That's a surprise. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm actually going through these flashcards right now, man, so I thought I'd give you a call. I had my alarm set. I was like, I don't want to miss this. I won't miss his show today, so I'm going to call in and see what's going on.
Well, nice. I got to say, thank you so much for the Cribs episode this morning.
Yeah, that was good. I watched it.
Man, it took me like 3 days to upload that thing. Every time I tried to upload it, it like would go for like 4 hours, and it would crash. And I did it while I went to sleep, of course. There's no way I could be three hours without my phone. But, man, it took me a couple of days, man. That was crazy.
That's brilliant.
That was good stuff. We played it before the show.
We played it before the show, and I got to say, overwhelmingly, my favorite part is when you talk about the phone and how that technology isn't even out yet.
You know what, but hey, all jokes aside, you know, that's a pretty good, I think it's a pretty good room, man, compared to a lot of the guys I know around the league. You know, they stay in a lot of different other places, man, but...
Well, I got to say...
We got sleep number beds.
Well, yeah, Dane Randolph just told us that he doesn't have a television. Do you have a television?
Yeah, that's bad news. Yeah, I can't go to sleep without TV, man.
Dane said...
Comforting sounds of HBO.
Yeah, I hear that.
Well, we saw you're a big Entourage fan. Speaking of which, crazy coincidence, we know Adrian kind of through a friend, so we'll say hi for you.
Definitely.
So how you know, have you gotten any indication whatsoever? I mean, we've seen the press clips, we've seen the interviews. Have you gotten any indication at all when they're going to retest you to get you off the pup?
No, man, I haven't got actually any indication. You know, I know it's not going to be before this game. I know that for sure. I think that, you know, I think we have a couple guys come in and check me out and just look at me. But, you know, like I said, you know, earlier, you know, when they interviewed me, they're asking me, you know, when do you think the soonest? I tell them, you know, probably the third preseason game is the most likely, you know, that I'll see some action. But, right. You know, hopefully before then, if not, I'm not losing any, you know, workouts, because I'm in there, you know, working hard in the indoor facility, just making sure I'm on track and staying conditioned and staying up on my playbook knowledge. So I'm going to make sure when I come back, I'm right on track. So,
well, definitely. I mean, the team definitely needs you.
There's
no doubt about that. What was with Clay Matthews saying he would beat you in a race? What was that about?
I don't know, man, but I don't know what he ran at the combine. I don't know, you know, whatever the numbers was, but, you know, we can have a race to the ball. I guarantee you I'm going to get there first.
Hey, how long are you going
to... You know, Clay's a fast guy, so, you know, and everyone likes to think that they're the fastest, you know, so,
right.
You know, if anybody asked me if I could beat Kyle Harris, you know what I'm going to tell you? Hell yeah, I'd smoke his ass. You know, but it's just the confidence that each football player has. So.
Definitely.
No doubt.
Well, and that's what we like to see, without question. Hey, how long are you going to keep the fro going? Can we get a declaration right here on Cheesehead TV that you will not cut the fro as long as the Packers keep winning? Like, if you guys, you know, start like a 3-4 game tear, you're not going to cut the fro.
The fro's not getting cut, first of all.
All right.
Not getting cut. I'm going to blow everything out until I can't fit in my car anymore. So,
that's awesome. Unfortunately, I don't have the fro up for your animation because I just saw it today on NFL Media. So I'm definitely going to get it up.
We've got the old school bald Nick Barnett.
We've got last year's Nick Barnett up.
But next time you call, we'll be ready with the fro shot.
Oh, yeah.
For sure, man. I have to post another photo. Let me post one on Twitter, man. It's bigger than it was on that picture that team picture and the media guy. It's getting long, man.
Wow. Speaking of Twitter, we're all aware of the Packers and what they, you know, what McCarthy said about Twitter in the press conference. Has there been a point where, you know, McCarthy has actually sat you down one on one and said, "Hey, look, don't talk about this, that, or the other thing," or has he just said, "Don't do it on company time"?
It's just don't do it on company time, which is, you know, respectful of any job. You know, I wouldn't bring my phone in a meeting, period. Or I wouldn't text during practice or anything like that. I mean, that's just disrespectful to, you know, whoever's coaching you, or disrespectful to the team. I mean, you know, I do it on my own time, on my little off time, and, you know, they don't control what we say. You know, we say whatever we want to say, you know, as far as, you know, and that's it. You know, they don't say, "Hey, don't say this, don't say that." You know, I mean, they don't say that to us when we talk to the media, so I doubt that they would say anything like that as far as Twitter goes. You know, I mean, there's always, you know, company rules, you know, not rules, but, you know, you work for a company. You don't want to badmouth the company, you know. So there's those type of things, you know. You don't want to say this and that, and you know, it's just being smart. You know, who's stupid and gonna say, "Oh, I don't like, you know, they don't like the way they do things around here. The food's disgusting." You know, you don't do that type of stuff. You know, right. It's an organization that's investing in you, that believes in you enough to bring you and pay you millions of dollars to play, do the thing that you love. I mean, that's just, you don't do it. You don't badmouth the, you know, organization like that.
It's refreshing to hear that, truly. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the back and forth you and I had I think about a month ago on Twitter regarding last year. You had indicated that, you know, a lot of stuff went on behind the scenes, not only with the Brett Favre situation, but, you know, just with the defense and with just a lot of stuff. And a lot of people said that Nick Barnett didn't look the same last year. You know, even before the injury, they said, a lot of people were saying that something was off, something was different. Is there any light you can shed on that? Was there something personal? Was it a team thing? Was it a coaching thing? Is there anything you can share with us that played behind the scenes?
You know, all the Jim Bates scheme, because that's pretty much what it was.
Right.
And you look back at the years when it was successful, or when Zach Thomas had a lot of tackles, or, you know, when those linebackers were playing great, it's always, you know, based on an all-around effort, you know, defense. You know, if one person messes up in that scheme, you know, you're going to make the next person look bad, or, you know, if I mess up, I'm going to make somebody else look bad. So, you know, a lot of things have to go right in order to make it look good, you know, and to make plays. And I'm not saying that, you know, everyone else messed up and I didn't mess up. I'm just saying that everybody wasn't on their P's and Q's. And it shows, you know, we had some great games. We made some great plays. And sometimes we look like crap. So, you know, it was just that way. And it was one of those schemes just, you know, one guy messed up, someone was taking it to the house, you know, so, so, you know, this one's a lot different. It's not all based upon, you know, this guy takes on this butt, that guy makes the tackle. There's other people that can make these plays as well. So I'm excited to see what it's like once I get out there and start, you know, sticking my face mask in people's chest, you know, see how it really feels.
I think all of Packer Nation is excited to see that.
Most definitely. you know, speaking of the 3-4 and the switch to it, have you talked to, you know, guys in Pittsburgh, or have you reached out to anybody in Baltimore, or guys who have played in the 3-4, and have you talked to any of the linebackers around the league and trying to get some tips, some suggestions, anything like that, or are you just kind of sticking with your own thing? And
you know, I mean, I'm kind of just, you know, for me, it's, you know, I feel like there's no other line, you know, I hate to say that, I'm not trying to sound like, you know, I'm full of myself, but I feel like every linebacker is different, you know, and there's no other linebacker that, you know, kind of has the strength that I have and the weaknesses I have. So it's kind of have to watch different, you know, linebackers go through it. Like, I watch Pittsburgh a lot and what they did, and, you know, I watch Ray Lewis and his transformation into the 3-4 and the type of stuff that he did in order for him to kind of stay successful at that position. So it's just learning the different things that work for you, and a lot watching Chiller and watching Bishop and watching AJ and those guys, I'm able to learn a lot just by seeing what works for them and what doesn't work for them, and, you know, I can kind of play off, you know, their strengths, because I'm kind of a in between the Chiller and the AJ and the Bishop. You know, I'm all them, you know, kind of just, you know, different. You know, we're all different, but I feel like I got the strength of all them and some of their weaknesses as well. You know what I mean?
It's just, definitely, you complement each other. Definitely.
Yeah, exactly. So it's I can just learn from everybody and to see, like, where I can make plays and how I can be successful and how this defense is going to work for me as far as each individual coverage and blitz.
Like Corey said, I know you're insanely frustrated and you can't wait to get out there. I know every Packer fan shares that sentiment. And I gotta say, you're a true gentleman for calling in tonight. You know, we've been going back and forth. I know you've been going back and forth with Alex quite a bit. And, you know, thanks so much for joining us and for giving us a call.
Oh, for sure, man. You know, it was great, you know, having me on the show. I'll still keep the Twitter cracking. So,
Please do. And hopefully you can check back in later in this season, and we can have another chat when the Packers are like 8-0, 9-0.
Yeah, that's good. That'll be
good. Sure. Yep. I'm gonna put I got a video coming up. I haven't done it yet, but I got a prank I'm gonna pull on one of the rookies. So
yeah. We are definitely going to post that.
We'll definitely shine some light on it. Nick Barnett joining us on Cheesehead TV. Thank you so much, Nick.
All right, see you guys later.
Have a good night. Ladies and gentlemen.
Nick Barnett.
Random phone calls from Nick Barnett.
Nick Barnett just calls us.
He's just hanging out.
You know what?
Nick Barnett calls.
I think Nick Barnett felt bad that Wayne Larrabee hates us.
Exactly.
I almost want to call Wayne Larrabee to see.
We should call Wayne right now and say, hey, you Wayne, know what? Nick Barnett just called us.
Nick Barnett's good enough for Cheesehead Nation.
Yeah.
Nick Barnett understands that Packer fans are Packer fans and
die
they want to hear.
Diehards in the house. Nick Barnett smoke fools.
I'm just putting him up there because it's like, you know what?
You know what? He's not on the phone, but it doesn't matter. We love his picture. Because the man just called us randomly.
He's a starting linebacker.
Oh, he should have been a Pro Bowler 2 years ago. I'll tell
it's
you
true.
That. Ladies and gentlemen,
I think he's hilarious.
I don't know what more to
say. He should just have his own show because
he really
funny.
Should. He's great.
Like, I watch his videos. I listen to his Twitter, except for the sharded Twitter. Okay, the sharded Twitter. But
come on. That's a classic.
That's a classic.
Why didn't I ask him?
I don't
him
know.
About that?
I was going to ask him, and then I was like, I thought it was one of those moments where you would be like,
totally.
Corey.
No, why would the dump stop? I did not
because we would have put it up.
Taskmaster whatsoever.
That was good stuff.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't ask him about it.
You know who's really happy right now?
Who's that?
Well, I'm happy.
I'm ecstatic.
Okay, but you know who's really happy is Alex Talish.
He should be.
It took him a month and a half to get Nick Barnett, and he delivered.
Definitely.
Okay?
Alex,
and you know what?
You're the man.
You're the man. That's how it works.
Alex, you're the man.
I could have listened to Nick Barnett for another half hour.
I could have too, but I didn't want to keep him, you know?
No, I know.
You know, he's just calling in and wants to say hi. Because that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. We just have Packers call us randomly.
I wish.
I'm just like blown away.
What if the console was just like Packers? I gotta talk to Aaron because he's pissing me off right now. And it's Aaron Rodgers.
I can't wait.
Wait, so we should be able to get Aaron Rodgers now.
Oh, stop. All right, well, we'll start hammering away at all the Packers we know to tell Aaron to come on the show.
And I just showed the battery on the camera.
The battery is dying. And so am I. I got work in the morning. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a privilege. It's been an honor, as always. Join us. We'll be on again next Wednesday night. No idea who the guests will be.
We have some idea, but we don't
have
any.
I think Commissioner Goodell is planning to call in randomly.
Yeah, Roger Goodell will be on next week.
Roger Goodell Lombardi's calling from the grave. So it's going to be a fantastic show.
There you go.
So thanks a lot for joining us. Thanks to all our guests. Thanks to Dane Randolph, Matt Bowen, and Nick Barnett. Who knew? And we'll see you all next week.
We'll see you on the live blogs.